Welcome to episode 14, Branding and Rebranding.
Hi, I'm Abigail Boatwright.
And I'm Kate Bradley Byers.
And together we form the Freelance Remuda. We are both passionate about horses, obsessed with media, and we love to tell stories with words and photos.
As freelancers, we know the value of professionalism and importance of connections. We have a thirst for improving our craft.
We want to give you the knowledge and tools to join us in elevating equine media, because when we help each other, everyone benefits.
Life can be interesting as a freelancer in the equine industry, but you're not alone. Grab a cup of coffee
or a glass of wine
and join us.
As freelancers, it's become more and more important to have a presence online. Gone are the days of simply bringing a portfolio of your work and a resume to a potential client meeting. Today, many freelancers employ social media and a website to market themselves to editors and companies. We'll talk about social media in another episode, but today we're going to talk about branding and rebranding yourself as a freelancer. This is such a timely episode since Kate just redid her site and I am in the process of redoing my logo this week. So I'm excited to talk about this.
This is something that I think a lot of freelancers don't see themselves as a brand. They think like companies have brands, but you are your own company. So you do need to have a brand and you need to have a presence that puts forth what your company is all about. So even if you don't spend, you know, hard-earned cash having someone do your logo or, you know, create a website, you are a brand even if you just have a Facebook page. So, and I think that's one thing freelancers need to realize.
Right. And it's not just a logo. A brand is not a logo. A brand is the overall package. It's your overall presence on the web. It's everything from the color on your website to your business card to the font you choose.
To how you dress for meetings, how you present yourself to when you're visiting sources or doing proposals. I mean, it's everything.
Yeah. I mean, the style of your photos to, I mean, even the voice you use on your website, if it's very clipped, you know, business-like versus very conversational, jokey, you know, if you write a blog, what the voice is like, that sets the tone and that's your brand. You know, you want to present your values and your expertise through your brand. And so that's easiest done these days on a website and social media. And your logo is just one part of that.
I have a new website now with three names since I got married. And I just went through and thought about what I needed to put on this website that would portray what I do. You know, first off, I'm a writer and a photographer, and I'll do other projects, but that is the main element that I wanted to get across, was the writing and the photography. So, you know, I picked a template that allowed me to have big images and create some pages that let me drill down into some detail about what kind of writing I do. And then I added a contact page, and then I linked to my contact page on the other pages because, you know, if someone can't find you, how can they hire you? But, you know, I think that, you know, your website, your social media, even if you haven't invested in a website and you have a Facebook page or an Instagram account, that is the first impression someone gets of your work.
Mm-hmm. They're going to look you up on the internet whether you like it or not, and you might as well send them to a place that has been planned to show your best work and show who you are. A good website, the goal is to make it easy to hire you, but a bad website can make people turn away if it's super dated or if it's got bad grammar or links that don't work or any number of things can make people think, maybe they aren't the professional that I want to hire. And it's not to scare you. I mean, it doesn't have to be this big, elaborate, innovative website, but you do need something, just some presence that showcases who you are, how you can be hired, and examples of your best work. I think it's important. And it doesn't have to be an expensive site. It can be a free site. I mean, we're going to talk about free sites because both of us have done the free site as well as slightly paid. So we're going to talk about that today. Some of the platforms that work for a freelancer website is, you know, blog platforms like Blogspot. WordPress is very common, and Squarespace, which both Kate and I have Squarespace sites now, and Freelancer Muta is on Squarespace, so we're pretty much in love with Squarespace. But we've done the WordPress and
Blogger.com. Blogger.
Yeah, that one is Gmail owned, I think. So
yes.
I think they changed it to Blogspot. It's the same, but it's, you know, mine was Blogger before I switched to Squarespace. It's free, so that's nice. WordPress can be free or not, which we'll talk about later. And then there's some photography sites. Like, I host my photos on SmugMug, so I have online galleries there and a portfolio. And you could actually just do your whole site through SmugMug if you wanted to, but I already had a site. And then I know Zenfolio is the same. You can do purchases there as well, just like you can with SmugMug, and it's a good way to showcase your work. And Flickr, do you use Flickr?
We used Flickr at a company that I worked for, and it was, everyone was able to access it. I know some other people that use Flickr. It's similar to SmugMug.
Mm-hmm. Do you host your photos anywhere for your clients, or do you send them just through Google Drive?
Not yet. I prefer doing Google Drive. So I did client sessions a few years ago, and then I stopped. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm really just trying to reprocess it all and figure out what's easiest for them and what's easiest for me and that kind of thing. So right now I'm just posting the photos on Google Drive.
That makes sense. That's good. I have a business SmugMug site, which costs money, but people can purchase photos through there. And most of the time I offer clients, you know, I've just given them a flash drive or just the images, but I've experimented with selling prints and products and downloads, and that actually has taken off a little bit. I'm still a work in progress there. Like, it's not making a ton of money, but some people like to send a link to a family member and they like to purchase a print through there or a canvas. And so it's nice to have that capability, and SmugMug handles all of it. I can do it separately too, but it is nice to have a hub there where they can ship it directly. I haven't shipped anything myself. So
that's nice. And that's definitely a consideration. You know, if a freelancer is more of a photographer than anything else, then maybe they want to pick something like a SmugMug or some kind of hosting site that allows for more options, like what you were just describing. If they're a writer and most of their stuff is going to be posting like PDFs of articles or links to online work or something, then maybe a blog platform is more along the lines of what they need. So, you know, when you first started thinking about putting together a site, did you initially think, okay, I need something that's really photo driven, or what were you initially thinking? Because I just knew that I needed something that I could do myself.
Yeah.
But you know, tell me your thoughts on picking one of the platforms over the other.
So when I started freelancing, I already had a blog. I had a Blogspot Blogger blog for years, and I had been posting some of my portrait sessions that were not horse related, because I had started doing portraits while I was still working at Paint Horse. And so I decided to overhaul that site and just change it over to being a business site. And so I took off, stopped posting about personal stuff. I opened up a different blog about that. But then I changed the domain name, you know, and so I kept that same structure and I just revamped it and overhauled it. And it took a long time for me to do, but, I liked being able to post blog posts. So I posted articles as blog posts. And then I had a link to portfolio work. I had links. It was very, rudimentary, I guess is the word. And it was a little bit clunky, but it did what I needed to do, which is have a presence online that looked how I wanted it to look. And I had my resume, I had about me, and I had links, I had posting about work and photos. And so that was my first website.
So you got a domain that was your name probably.
Yeah.
And so if someone Googled that, then they could find your website. And then obviously you had a contact me or a hire me page, which is really important.
Yes. So, and that was a link on the blog, and then it was its own, went to its own page. And the way the Blogger layout was, the blog was the primary thing. So it wasn't a landing page, which is different from what I have now. But early on, that's what I had when I was doing it all by myself. And so that's just the platform that I had. It was kind of a struggle to get it to do what I wanted, but I wanted to keep the traffic and everything in the all the old blog posts that I had. I wanted to keep those when I built my new site.
Well, I also had a blogger, blog-based platform. And so I picked, though, a template that just looked like a bunch of photo collages on there.
Yeah.
When you clicked on one, it expanded. So I liked that because it was very simple. People really didn't need to scroll much on the homepage. And then there were links, like three different page links at the top. And one was writing, one was photography, and one was the contact me, about me page. You know, and I just kept it really simple because I didn't want to spend an enormous amount of time always updating my website.
Yeah. So you want it more static.
Yes. And that's one that I went for template-wise. Also, I'm visually drawn to to different websites. So that's why I went with all the little photo previews on the blogger one. And that's kind of why I picked a photo-heavy template for my new rebranded one, which we'll discuss shortly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also knew that I wanted to put forth a portfolio of both my writing and my photography.
Right.
So that's really what drove my website needs. When you were moving to a new website, did you think about who would be looking at it, not just what you wanted to put on, like the audience?
Yes. So, and it's tricky as a freelancer because you've got, I mean, for me, I did portraits and I also did writing. And so I wanted to showcase my work for potential editors, but I also wanted to showcase my work for potential clients. And so the clients, a lot of times, photography clients are horse people or they're not horse people. And so it was kind of two-edged there, but I did have in mind exactly who I wanted to talk to. And that I've actually drilled down more when I redesigned, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So, but for you, did you have a specific audience in mind when you needed it?
No. When I first started my blogger site, it really was just throw the information up there. It wasn't on like a schedule.
Yeah.
I just put stuff up as I had time. I updated it as I had time.
Right.
That kind of thing. You know, but it's always been the bootstrap, you know, type of thing. I've never hired anyone to look at it. I have bribed one of my friends that works in web design and with content SEO to review my website, and I gave her a bottle of wine for that. But, you know, I've always gone the bootstrap route because I wanted control over it.
Yeah.
I want, like, if something's broken, I need to fix it. I also didn't have a lot of capital to invest in it. When I wanted to update something, I wanted to be able to do it ASAP. I didn't want to have to ask a web designer and wait for it to come around. That kind of thing. So that's why I've always gone with it. But, you know, it was a bit of a struggle sometimes. The blogger was easy. I just flipped the template and that was simple. But when I decided to do a bit of a redesign, that took a little bit more time. So obviously, like, the bootstrap route that I went was less expensive, but it was a little bit more of a time commitment for me. But I know that you have hired someone to design your website, right?
Yeah.
AbigailBoatwright.com.
Yes. So when I had my blogger site for about two and a half years, and then I just really felt I wanted something different. I wanted to step up my game a little bit. And so I hired a marketing and advertising firm that is a friend of mine's company. But he walk me through branding a little bit. And so I still really wanted control over the written content because I felt really strongly that I knew who my audience was. I knew the tone that I wanted. I knew what kind of information I wanted to share. And so they designed it on Squarespace. I did a template on it on Squarespace, and they designed a logo for me, which I forgot to mention earlier. I did have a logo designed for me for my first website, and it was a friend of mine that did it, and she did a great job, and I love that website, and I love the logo to bits. I love my business card forever. I was sad to give it up. Actually, I still love it, because I had a photo on the back that was a horse, you know, jumping in the air, and it was my iconic photo that I used in everything. So then when I redesigned, took that photo off and I chose a different photo as what represented me, and it was a girl kissing her horse. And I felt really strongly that that was what I wanted people to connect with, was that relationship with the horse. So it wasn't just a horse jumping. That was a pretty photo. That was a fun photo, but I wanted them to know that it was about those connections and those relationships. And so I wanted people to feel the emotion. And so every photo that I picked for my portfolio with the people had the element of emotion. So there's a connection. If you look at the photos, people are touching other people, or they're looking at their horse, or they're hugging their horse. There's this connection in every photo, because that's what represents me when it comes to the portraits. And I updated my bio because I wanted it to showcase my personality, a little bit of my background, but not a boring list of here's all the things I've done and here's all the magazines I've written for. I didn't want to do that as much as just convey who I am. And, you know, I had a tagline that, you know, talks about deadlines and all those things that, if you guys know us, if you've been listening to us, you know what we believe in, the deadlines.
The deadline.
And a photo that represented me. And so then the template is scrolling. So there's each of the elements that I do, writing, photography, and then in the photography, there's the portraits, and then there's covers and some printed and some horses and stuff like that. And so it just, you know, shows each part of what I do, but it's all in one page. It's a little bit less text, more photos. The photos are bigger, and it's really easy to navigate the site. And so it didn't take as long as I thought it would. It was fun working on it with this company.
Other creative minds.
Yeah, and stuff I didn't know how to do. I was like, I really would like this. I have no clue how to put this on my site. And they're like, yep, got it. And they also did the SEO, which, as we have talked before, neither of us are SEO experts. So, but they were able to put that on there. And so I have had people say, hey, I found your website because I Googled Fort Worth equine photographer. So many people have told me that.
So that has made it, you know, beneficial that you worked with some folks that knew their way around the interweb.
Yes. And it was a lot less painful than building my site myself. It didn't take me as much time. I chose to write the copy myself because it's something I really like to do, but they had somebody there that could do that. So the pros would be definitely is an easier experience. I love the results that I got. The cons are it is expensive, and depending on the kind of site you have, sometimes you give up control of updating it if you hire a pro. And it depends on what you hire them for. If you hire somebody just to do your logo, no big deal. It may not always cohesively match with the rest of your site, though. So if you hire somebody to do the whole process, you may get a better feel for, you know, who you are, what your message is, your action, you know, the call to action you want people to do. But depending on the type of site you have, I know people that have hired somebody to do it and then they can never touch their site. They're like, I need to change this thing. Let me call my web guy. And so mine's on Squarespace.
Don't make me nuts.
Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, you know, they still didn't get back to me. This is why some people have sites that are not updated. Now, my excuse is I haven't taken the time, but I have a Squarespace site and they walk me through a tutorial about how to do every single thing on there. And then if I have an issue, I can call them and they'll, or video chat or whatever, and they will instantly tell me how to do what I need to do if I can't figure it out on my own. And so I can fix my own site. I added a section the other day and I can change the photos and change the PDFs. And so it's been, I like my site. I've had it for 2 years and I just wanted a new logo. So that's why I'm working on getting a new logo with my friend that did the first logo because I really love what she did. So we'll see what that looks like. I'm not sure when that's going to come out. Maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that.
Well, we kind of have done a hybrid of what you've discussed for the freelancermedia.com site. Yeah. We had a logo designed.
Yeah, my friend did that.
Yes.
Same one.
same logo friend. And then based off, we gave colors and ideas and we went through some revisions of it.
Yeah.
And then based off that, we used that to kind of drive the colors and the feel of the website. And initially, we purchased a WordPress.
.com,
which was not what we needed. We needed .org, but there were all these loopholes, and we don't really want to get into that because Kate might get a little crazy. But
this is a struggle.
It was a big struggle.
Yeah.
And so Abigail said, "You know what? I'm just going to try this Squarespace." And I'm thinking, great, just another way to spend money, and we're still going to be angry. But Squarespace was so easy, and it's hosted our podcast really easily.
Yeah.
And the thing is WordPress can do the same things. I worked with a WordPress site at TVMDL, and I hosted our TVMDL lab podcast there, and it all worked out. But mm-hmm. every now and then I would still have a problem with it. And I know tons of people use WordPress, and I even purchased a domain for a photography real estate venture on WordPress. But you know, it's just, I think it's all about the education and the ease and user friendliness.
Yeah.
And I feel like Squarespace is maybe a little more geared towards a creative mind and maybe less analytical or
yeah.
Like web.
Yeah, there's a learning curve there.
Driven. So yeah. We're hosting the freelancermedia.com on Squarespace, and we really like it because it is a blog-based platform, but
so easy.
It is easy to update, and it allows us to have specific pages. We have preview of the last three blogs, which are either a blog or an episode, you know, and I really just like the look of it. It seems very clean.
Yeah, and there's so many templates that you can use. The strength, I think, for WordPress is that the sky's the limit, but it's the .org, not the .com. Mm-hmm. As far as layouts, there's limits to the .com one, but the .com one is easier to navigate, quote unquote.
Yes.
But for us, we're not web tech. We're not, you know, graphic designers on that level. We don't do websites. We just needed something that looked pretty and
allowed us to have the sign up plugin that yep. would work with yes. MailChimp. And that was one of our stumbling blocks. So here are a few notes. If you are looking to have a brand where you set up a website and you want people to subscribe to a newsletter, or you're going to need to be working with other programs before you purchase anything, make sure everything works together like yes. a happy family and isn't going to, you know, be a struggle, because that is one of the things that we ran into.
Yeah.
Now, my personal site, I don't have a newsletter sign up or anything like that, so it wasn't as much of a decision for yeah. me to use Squarespace based on that. It was because I felt like I had learned it with Freelancer Muta mm-hmm. and I really liked the ease yeah. of using it. And I knew that I wanted to get away from Blogger yeah. and do something a little bit more dynamic
yeah.
for my site. So when I decided to redesign and rebrand, I guess I did that too because I'm married in September mm-hmm. and I decided to use Kate Bradley Byers mm-hmm. as my byline now mm-hmm. and update my watermark or mm-hmm. photo with Kate Bradley Byers too. So previously it had Kate Bradley Creative, so I had KBC, so mm-hmm. I changed it to KBB mm-hmm. and I didn't have anyone make me a logo. Instead, you know, I have a photo that I adore that I took of a bucking horse stallion mm-hmm. and his name is Warrior, and he's very strong, but he's beautiful and I love him. And so I knew that that was an image that I wanted to use on my business cards because of the colors. It's a bay, gorgeous stallion with like a wild mane and a blue sky, and just mm-hmm. it's simple but it's impactful, I thought.
Yeah.
And so I just knew that I wanted that image, and I wanted to drop a very clean font on top of it. And so that's all I did to create a logo.
Yeah.
I just used font based kind of ideas based on that. Clean, simple, readable when I made it small on photos. So that's just kind of how I made my own logo, I guess, or brand identity. Yeah. And then when I decided to go ahead and swap from katebradleycreative.com to katebradleybuyers.com, I just had them overlap for about 30 days. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that you might see mentioning Kate Bradley or Kate Bradley Creative is in my about page or my writing page on my mm-hmm. new website. It says you can see previous bylines as Kate Bradley or mm-hmm. after September, you know, Kate Bradley Buyers. So didn't put a whole lot of thought into how easy it would be for people to find me mm-hmm. opposite wise, because I didn't have a ton of visitors to my other site as is. Mm-hmm. But my new site, I am trying to promote. I'm putting katebradleybuyers.com and all my Instagram posts and all my Facebook mm-hmm. posts on my business pages. Mm-hmm. So You know, I think that's one way that I've tried to boost my redesign / rebrand is just visibility wise.
Yeah.
And then, you know, putting it all together, I just wanted to focus on writing and photography. And, you know, I know that other people redesign or rebrand when they decided that they want to either add more depth or maybe take away a service. Like you no longer really promote that you do social media work right. for folks, right?
Right, yeah. I used to do social media management, and then as I've gotten busier with writing and photography, I've let that go a little bit. It's not something that I'm as passionate about, and so I don't promote that on my site. And that's the thing that is great about what we do, is if you start, you know, a new skill that you really want to promote, that then you can put that on your portfolio. If you don't want to do something anymore, you just take that off, you know, like you can change up what you offer and put it on your site. So it's great, you know.
Our brand, like your brand, mm-hmm. to me, you have a Facebook page, an Instagram, and a Twitter, and you also have a website.
Yeah, so the Twitter is my personal Twitter.
Okay.
But I have actually, you know, just this year, I changed my original Instagram account to be my business account because I had a lot of followers there, and I was posting some of my work stuff, but it was mixed in with stuff with my kids. And then recently I decided, you know, I think I just want to put my kids on their own, my own account, like a personal account that's private. And so that way it's not going out to the whole wide world. So that was a tough decision to do that because I have tons of photos on the other Instagram, but now that it's a business one, I post all the time of photos that I've taken or on the job stuff, you know, if I'm out on a photo shoot or something like that.
That might be a hindrance to some people that have been working maybe part-time freelance, or they really want to go hardcore into writing and photography, and they do have a lot of followers on one of their social media accounts. You know, you can switch stuff. You know, my Instagram bio says a mix of the Western lifestyle and, you know, then it says Huck Finn dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Bernie pony, because I like to post photos of my dog and my horse.
Yeah.
But predominantly it is more work stuff now, or like maybe a cool glass of wine or some food when I'm on a trip or something like that. But I feel like my Instagram is definitely a mix.
Yeah.
But it is one way for people to see my personality too, as well as the work. I don't have Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
Because I was overloaded with social media.
Yeah.
And I do have a personal Facebook page and a business Facebook page. And then I have the website that, you know, obviously links to Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. You know, the website, my main goal there was to put up a portfolio of my work, have some web content that described what I did, you know, the different types of writing, and then make sure that I had multiple links on those pages for people to find me because I want my contact information to be out there pretty strongly.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so I'm a big fan of that. It has to be easy for people to find your contact info. Like I have looked up people's websites and there's nowhere to contact them. You know, it's like, comment on this thing. You're like, no, that I need to email you. And so sometimes you can have a form on your site, but I think it's always good to have an email link so that people can see your email, because sometimes those forms go to an email address that doesn't work anymore.
Thank you. That's what I was about to.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that if you have a template that has a form, even if you don't realize that you've maybe published that page or something, need to make sure that your email form goes to an active account.
Yes.
Because you're going to be losing work.
Yeah. Yeah. People send me stuff through my form all the time, but when I am trying to reach somebody, I would rather cut and paste their email address click on the email address.
And I put my phone number in there because a lot of people do like to speak, you know, over the phone, face to face. I don't know. I feel like you've had your website up and your cards for a minimum of 2 years, right? My blogger was up for a long time, and the only push to change it and make it better was getting married and going freelance full time.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I decided to rebrand and redesign. But you know, I think that like you have a very strong following on your social media, and what are you ever concerned when you redesign a logo or something that it might confuse your followers? Or do you think there's like a minimum amount of time between changing logos or designs or something like that?
I think my biggest limitation is the time and the money that it takes to redesign. Mm-hmm. But it's more if you change your website address or the names on, say, like Instagram. When I changed my name, that's the first time I've changed my name, and I've had Instagram on there for like, you know, however many years, 6 years or something like that. But changing the names, I think, is more confusing, like changing your URL or your handles. But no, I mean, I think 2 years is a good time to maybe think about refreshing. It's most important, I think, to have fresh content. So if you've got a photo from 10 years ago and your style doesn't look like that anymore, probably need to take it off. If it's a photo that still, you know, represents what you offer and the feel that you want people to get when they're looking at your website and at your work, then keep it. But, you know, if you've got better work that you can post, I think that's probably the most important thing, is making sure your content is updated. But you don't want an outdated website either, right?
Kind of going with our systems and processes episode, you know, add in a monthly appointment or schedule a monthly, you know, review or refresh of your pages if you don't have things, you know, that you're posting on a regular basis. As I mentioned, I'm trying to boost my new website and brand. So I'm, you know, on a Sunday, I'll get 4 or 5 posts of things and schedule them out. And I'm just trying to increase that activity there. And then I am totally at fault for not looking at my blogger site for like 6 months one time. I think that just keeping your eyes on your brand, don't just focus on the emailing or the face-to-face, but you have to focus on what's out there in the social world now, because people are looking you up that way probably more than anything else. So get something out there, whether it's an in-depth, really deep website where you can drill down to every little bit of information, or you have, you know, 2 pages, your homepage and a contact page, or a homepage with contact information, you know, get something out there, put some thought into whether it's your name or a business name, something that you don't have to change, you know, on a whim every now and then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, capture those social account domains too and start getting some stuff up there, because really and truly promoting ourselves is something that I think freelancers don't do a great job of.
Yeah.
But if we just go out there and do it in some way, shape, or form, you might get a paycheck. I did. I posted, hey, I'm doing photo sessions now. And I had 3 inquiries in 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Well, self-promotion goes a long way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, I think it's hard for you and me.
Yeah.
And I know a few of our fellow freelance friends, it's hard for us to be like, look at me, look at me.
Yeah.
Because we enjoy being behind the story. We enjoy putting other people forth. But you have to create your brand, maintain your brand, and promote your brand.
It's good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And something that I've noticed with more photographers than writers is the bio. People are so hung up on the bio. They can't write. They're like, I can't write about myself. And so that's something that I do offer people is web copy and bios. And, you know, I gather the info and I write it. And that makes them feel so much more confident that they've had that. They have that thing that really encapsulates who they are, and they put it with a portfolio of their work and a contact way to contact them, and you're done.
Bam.
It doesn't have to be this massive thing, you know? And social media, that one's important too. Like, you were talking about how you update, and I'm like, oh God, I have not updated my blog in a while, but I have a good selection of my portfolio.
There you go.
And then if you go to my social media, I update that all the time. And so something needs to be updated. You don't want your page to be outdated. It needs to have a good selection, but you know, our time is limited. And so you focus on what you can, but as long as you're putting yourself out there a little bit and your content is somewhat fresh, I think that's helpful.
And if you, I was feeling like I was spread too thin trying to update too many sites. That's why I axed Twitter, even though I stinking love it during football season. I'm like, But anyway, you know, so I now have Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
And so I can schedule out Facebook posts.
Yeah.
You know, and just copy them over to Instagram fairly easily. So, like, pick, if you don't have a lot of time, pick one.
Yeah.
just pick something to get yourself out.
Not the one that you don't use normally. No. You're like, I'm going to be the queen of LinkedIn.
Yeah. No. Pick the one that's easiest for you to update.
Yeah.
You know, I like the scheduling out portion.
Your Facebook.
Yes. Yeah. And that's...
I love Instagram for no reason at all, except for I just love Instagram.
It's great. So, see, you just pick one that you like and focus on it and see how you can grow your base there. And it will spill over.
Yeah. I think so.
But don't be afraid to think of yourself as a brand and, you know.
Not just a logo.
Not just a Facebook page.
Cohesive presence. You can do it. I want to hear how you guys have come up with a brand for yourself, what the process was for you. Maybe we can talk about that in the Facebook group.
Definitely. And don't forget that we do have a Facebook group as well as a public Facebook page. So look for us at Freelance Bermuda. We are also on Twitter and Instagram at Freelance Bermuda. And don't forget that you can listen to episodes both download for free in iTunes and off of our website, freelancebermuda.com. And on the website, you can also sign up for our newsletter, which offers you some exclusive information every time it goes out. So please visit us, subscribe, follow, let us know where you are too so we can follow you because we want to lift everyone up in the industry. But thanks so much for taking the time to listen to us today, and we will see you next time.